I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. We'll get there in a moment. Hebrews chapter 1. Also in your program is a blue insert. I invite you to take that out and follow along with us, jot some fill-ins. I was joking with somebody this morning. I said, before the dads get their donut, they've got to show their completed notes with all the fill-ins answered. So dads, I don't know if we'll hold you to that, but it wouldn't hurt. Hey, if you don't have a Bible this morning, we'd love to give one to you. Raise your hand if you need a Bible. We'd love to give one to you either as a gift or you can just borrow it and leave it there at your chair if you have one at home. But we want everyone to be able to have a Bible. A lot of scripture this morning. We want you to follow along with the scriptures on the screen and also the in front of you. And we'll get to Hebrews chapter 1 in just a moment. We're actually in week 2 of a 4-week series called The Unseen World. And we talked last week about the idea that there's an unseen world, that there's an unseen world that's more real than the world that we do see. Do you remember that? And for some of you, that's a stretch. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if that's true. But the Bible says it's true. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 18 says that what we see is not going to last. What we don't see is going to be eternal. And we live in a world that's kind of, you know, there's a couple dangers here. One is to maybe come over this way a little bit. Let's go this way. Go this way and say, I don't believe in anything I can't see. If I can't touch it, taste it, feel it, smell it, it doesn't exist. And there's people that say, well, you know, if I can't see it, I don't believe in it. It's not there. It's not real. And I think that's a real dangerous place to be. And other people come over this side and say, well, you know, I believe there's a devil underneath every rock and there's a demon behind every tree and everything's blamed on, outside forces. And we talked about the comedian Flip Wilson, remember him? And if you're old enough, you might remember, he said, the devil made me do it. And he was blaming the devil for everything. I think that's kind of a dangerous spot. The best spot, of course, is right about here, to be under the teaching of the Word of God. What does God's Word say about the unseen world? It says there is an unseen world. It says we can know something about it, and we ought to, because it interacts with our world, certainly. And so today we're going to talk about, I'm going to do something I've never done in my 30 years of pastoral ministry. I'm going to talk about angels. I'm going to talk about angels. And I think that's appropriate because as you'll see as we kind of go through the text and the scriptures today, angels don't want to be talked about. Angels don't want to be the focus. And I think it's, so probably about every 30 years I'll do it. So in 30 more years and in 2048, I'll preach another sermon maybe on angels if I'm still around. But I mean, that's kind of appropriate because angels, as we'll see in a moment, don't want to be the focus. But I think it's important that we as believers and followers of Jesus know that God has angels that are helping us, that are ministering for us, that are worshiping the Lord. And so I hope you'll be encouraged today as we talk about angels. We live in a culture that's very fascinated by angels, right? If you look at popular culture, there's TV shows, Touched by an Angel, there's movies, you know, there's you go to a gift shop and there's angel figurines, and there's all this kind of fascination with angels. And I think probably the best answer is to say, well, what does the Bible say about angels? What's their purpose? What are they all about? What, you know, why should I even care that there are angels if there are? And so hopefully we'll be able to work through that today. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, you're going to be encouraged. Amen? There's good news in here for you because God has got good news for us this morning, so I hope you came ready to hear some. And again, on your notes, you see at the top, this is kind of our theme for these 4 weeks. This unseen world that we don't see is more real than the world that we do see. Now, here's the first fill-in. I want you to write this down, especially if you're a dad who wants a donut. You got to write this down, okay? Unseen does not mean unknown. Okay, we talk about the unseen world, but it doesn't mean that it's an unknown world because God tells us what we need to know about the unseen world. Even though we can't see angels, even though we can't see demons, even though we can't, which we'll talk about next Sunday, even though we can't see, you know, heaven and hell at this point, it doesn't mean that unseen is unknown. God's Word tells us what He wants us to know about these topics. Aren't you thankful for that? Now, He doesn't tell us everything that we'd like to know the answer to. There's some things about angels that we'll see in a moment. We'll say, you know what? We don't know. We don't know because God doesn't want us to know. And when we get to heaven, we may know. But right now, we don't know. There's questions that I'm not going to answer for you this morning because God's Word doesn't answer them. But I am here to say that God tells us what He wants us to know. And just because something's unseen doesn't mean it's unknown. Do you get the difference? Say amen if you're with me so far. God tells us what He wants us to know. Now, if you think about it, again, my confession, I've never preached a sermon about angels, but if you think about it, if you just stop and begin to think about the Bible and the Bible stories and even kind of flip through the pages, you'll recognize angels are everywhere. I mean, they're just throughout all sorts of scriptures. In fact, I didn't count them, but I took this for someone who I believe did count, that angels are mentioned 273 times in the Bible. Now, that's a lot. That's a lot of mentions and different appearances of angels and different things that they're doing. And throughout the church history, people have been fascinated by angels. don't know if you've studied church history much or even history at all, but back in the medieval ages, if you go back to some of those old Gothic cathedrals, there were angels everywhere in the stained glass and the architecture. In fact, they used to argue about questions like this. How many angels can fit on the head of a pin? Have you ever heard that question? And they would debate that and say, well, you know, just goofy things. They just were fascinated by angels. In fact, Thomas Aquinas, who is one of the greatest theologians of the Middle Ages, and if you're raised in a Roman Catholic church, you may have heard about this guy. He had 118 questions and answers about angels. I mean, he wrote about angels. There was just this fascination about angels. And I think some of that is kind of going this direction over here. I mean, we don't need to be so fascinated with angels, but I think we need to know a little bit about what God's Word says. Mankind has always been fascinated by the unseen world. And so let me give you, we're going to start today with a little bit of a quiz. Are you ready for a quiz?
Yeah.
Okay, we're not going to grade you, but I want you to either say true or false. I got four or five questions here, and I'm not trying to trick you, but let's just kind of play along here. Okay, so here's a question. All angels have wings, true or false? How many say true? Angels have wings, true? You got to raise your hand. Okay, don't just talk to me. How many say false? Okay, really? Okay, yeah, the answer is really we don't know. You're all wrong and you're all right. All right. Give yourself a donut. All right. You know, to be technical, the Bible says that it does talk about angels flying, but it never says they have wings. So just, you know, think about that. Here's another question. Everyone has a guardian angel. True? False? So how of you aren't going to raise your hand for anything now? Again, this is another answer where we don't know for sure. But write this down if you're curious. Matthew 18:10, it says, see that you do not look down on one of those little ones, for I tell you that they're angels in heaven. So that seems to refer to the, it kind of infers that we may have a guardian angel, but there's nowhere in Scripture that says we all have a guardian angel. So again, you could either say that's true or it's false. I'm just kind of, you know, we're not quite sure, but it just kind of inferred that there are angels that are kind of maybe assigned to people. But again, I wouldn't make a big deal about that, but that may be kind of a comforting thought to you, to say that you've got, that the Lord has assigned angels to watch over you. How do you think you need two or three angels? Come on, more than just one. Okay. Here's another question, true or false? Now, this one has a definitive answer. When people die, they can become an angel after they die. True or false? Okay, that's false. We know that's false. And sometimes at funerals, you hear people say, well, you know, he's with the angels or he became an angel, especially when children die. We have this idea that they kind of became an angel. That's not in Scripture. That's not true. That doesn't happen. And so I hate to burst your bubble, but we never become angels. We are angels. Angels are angels, and we are humans, okay? How about this one? There are such things as parking angels that help you find a parking spot at the mall. Come on, let me see. True? I got to tell you, and this is going to cost me $5. If my mother-in-law is watching this or watches on Facebook, by the way, you can watch her sermons on our Facebook page. She has a parking angel. I'll just tell you. I mean, she does. We would pull into a mall or a grocery store, and she will, you know, I'm the kind of guy, I'll park. If I find a spot way out in the back 40, I'll grab it because I want to park, and I'll walk. How many of you are with me on that? Okay, you're wise and godly people. I want you to know that. My mother-in-law will drive to the front door of the mall. It's Christmas. I mean, it's crowded. There's a parking lot right there for her. And every time she'll say this, I have a parking angel. Now, that's not biblical, but come on, it's my mother-in-law, so I got to kind of go with it. I have told her, in fact, we helped her kind of fill out a will after her husband died, and I said, Mom, can I have your parking angel? Can you put that in your will for me? So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully, she's going to live a long time, but after she passes, I want to get my hands on that parking angel. That would be wonderful. One last quiz question, and it's a video quiz. So I want Aaron to hit the video, and it's about a one-minute clip I want to show you, and then you tell me whether this is true or false.
I could. The fool flew all the way up here in a blizzard.
Harry, how about your banquet in New York?
Oh, I left right in the middle of it as soon as I got Mary's telegram. Good idea, Ernie. A toast to my big brother George, the richest man in town.
Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right. That's right. Attaboy, Clarence.
What movie is that, you know? It's A Wonderful Life. Great movie, lousy theology, okay? I love that movie. We watch it every Christmas. How many of you watch that movie? I love it. But the theology is not right. Every time a bell rings, an angel doesn't get its wings. Either angels have wings or they don't. And so, but I showed you that clip just to kind of illustrate again how interwoven angels are into our culture and how, you know, they're just kind of a part of things. And so it's important that we know what the Bible says about them. Okay, are you ready? So let me go on and talk about some positive things. Here's a definition in your notes. It's kind of wordy, so I put it in there for you. Angels are spiritual beings created higher than humans by God. Some angels remained obedient to God and carry out his will, while others rebelled and work against God and his good plans. And next Sunday, we'll talk about the angels that rebelled against God and his good plans, which we know are fallen angels or demons, Satan. We'll talk about them next Sunday. But the word angel literally means, write this down, literally means messenger. So the word angel means messenger. Angels are messengers. They come from God to give messages to people. And if you think about angels that are famous in Scripture, you'll begin to think of probably about the Christmas story. And what happened at the Christmas story? Again, angels showed up and brought the message to Mary of the birth of Jesus. They showed up to Zechariah and told him about the birth of John the Baptist. So an angel is a messenger. They come to give messages from God. And again, the reason why there's so much misinformation about angels is because there's not a single passage of Scripture that is focused on angels. There's never a scripture that says, well, this is what angels are all about. This is what they do. No, because angels are not the main point. Jesus is the main point. And so we're never told to look for angels. We're never told to pray to angels. We're never told to pray to see angels. We're never told to focus on angels. If we ever intersect with angels, it's only because God desired us to. And so we're never to be, you know, so it's kind of a danger to be fascinated with them or spend too much time thinking about them, because I want you to know very clearly that angels are not the big deal Jesus is. Angels are here to point us to Jesus. And so that makes it a little bit difficult to talk about them, because there's never a time when the spotlight of Scripture shines on them and says, you know, this is what angels are, and this is, no, it's always about Jesus. So they're in the background, and so we've got to kind of fit the pieces of the puzzle together. So if someone tells you that we ought to be praying to angels or praying that we see angels, you need to say, you know what, the angels aren't the big deal, Jesus is the big deal. But it is true to say that since we do have an unseen world, there are angels in this room right now. I hope that doesn't freak you out, but it's true, because the unseen world intersects with our world, and there are angels in this room, and they're worshiping Jesus along with us. If we were to see one, and again, I'm not saying that we will or even hoping that we will, but if we were to see one, he would say, don't worship me, worship Jesus. That's what it's really all about. Angels do what God tells them to do, and they don't do their own thing. They're servants of the Lord. They're messengers of God. All that to say, we're ready now to read our text. Will you stand with me? My friend Jimmy's coming up to read Hebrews chapter 1. So let's stand together out of respect for God's word. We want to stand as we read the text. Come on up, Jimmy. And he's going to read several verses from Hebrews chapter 1. Would you follow along with him as he reads?
Before I read, Los Angeles, city of angels. Nah. Okay, Hebrews 1:1-7. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. The Son is greater than the angels, for God never said to any angel what he said to Jesus. You are my Son. Today I have become your Father. God also said, I will be his father, and he will be my son. And when he brought his supreme son into the world, God said, let all of God's angels worship him. Regarding the angels, he says, he sends his angels like the winds, his servants like flames of fire. Hebrews 1:13-14. And God never said to any of the angels, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation.
Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. We ask you to speak to us clearly from it. Thank you for providing for us, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And may God bless you. You may be seated. Hebrews chapter 1 and chapter 2 are actually the longest passage in all the Bible that talk about angels, and so I thought it'd be good for us to read a little bit about that. But even in that passage, it's not about angels, it's about Jesus. You see, they lived in the same kind of culture. They were fascinated by angels, and they wanted to put the focus on them. But the writer of Hebrews says, listen, yeah, angels may be interesting, but the real story is Jesus. Jesus alone is worthy of worship. And as you saw there in verse 14, if your Bibles are still open, it says, therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. So that's one thing important about angels. Angels exist to help us. Angels are here to help us. They're here, again, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. If you're going to inherit salvation, raise your hand like me. I'm going to inherit salvation. Angels are sent to care for us. And so it ought to be comforting to us and helpful to us to know that if we follow Jesus, that we have angels helping us and kind of pushing us on and encouraging us. Now, let me give you some more questions about angels that we just can't answer. And so if you want the answer to these questions, I'll have to say, I can't tell you for sure. You might say, well, how many angels are there? We don't know. We have no idea how many angels there are, but we know when Jesus was on the cross, you might remember he was on the cross, and he said, you know what, I could call 12 legions of angels just like that to help me. A legion is between 3,000 and 6,000 Roman soldiers, so if you do the math, even taking that smallest number, Jesus could have said the word, and 36,000 angels would have been there to help him. And that's not even a, you know, who we see in the book of Revelation, it talks about thousands upon thousands. So again, people wonder and guess, but it suffices to say there are a lot of angels. There's just a bunch. You might ask another question. Well, when were angels created? We don't know. If you read the Genesis account of creations, it's never mentioned that angels are created, so we don't know if they were created beforehand, before our creation. That's probably most likely. When did some of them rebel against God? Because we know some angels fell. Some angels followed Satan and fell. We'll talk about this next Sunday. And when did that happen? Again, we don't know when that happened, but some of them, or even why did they do that? Why did angels rebel against God? We don't know. We'll talk more about that next Sunday. Another question, well, how many different kinds of angels are there? And you may be familiar with the term archangel. Michael is called an archangel in the scripture. We don't know much about that, but the only other named angel is Gabriel, is named as an angel. And the Bible talks about cherubim and seraphim. And again, there's just not a lot of information about, you know, how those are ranked or how they're put together, and maybe these do this and the. We don't know. Again, God tells us what he wants us to know, not everything we might want to know. When we get to heaven, we can find out, and it may be interesting to do that. The Bible also talks about principalities and powers and rulers and thrones and dominions. They're all Bible terms about the unseen world. And again, we'll talk about some of those next week, but again, we can't have all of our questions answered, but God will tell us what he wants us to know. So let's kind of turn the page here and talk about what we do know about angels. What do we know? And so number one, write this down. We know that angels are created. Like us, angels were created. They're not divine. They haven't existed forever like God has. You see up here on the screen, Psalm 148, it says, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights above, praise him all his angels, praise him all his heavenly hosts, praise him sun and moon, praise him all the shining stars, praise him you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, listen, for he commanded and they were created. So don't fall for the myth that angels are divine, that angels are God. Angels like us were created. God created angels for his own honor and his glory and his purposes. So they are created higher than us. They can do things that we cannot do, but we'll get to in a moment, we can do things that they can't do that they're jealous of. So we'll talk about that in a bit as well. So angels don't procreate. They don't marry. There's not, you know, once God created the angels, that's all the angels that they ever were. So angels, and Jesus refers to this in the Gospels, angels don't marry and have little baby angels. Angels were created and that's it. They're a static number of angels. Some of them fell and the rest of them are serving the Lord faithfully. So angels have power, but not all power. Angels have wisdom, but not all wisdom. Jesus says in Matthew 28 that about that day or the hour of his return, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven. So Jesus is preparing to come back to the earth. He's preparing to come back and make everything right here on earth. We don't know when that is, and the angels don't know. They don't know everything. Angels are sent by God. They never send themselves. So angels, again, are messengers. They're sent by God. They don't get together and say, hey, let's go do this, let's go do that. No, they only serve God and do what he tells them to do. Number two, we do know that angels are spirits. Angels are spirits. Now, they may take on bodily form, but they don't have human bodies. Again, if we were to see an angel, it's because he were to take on a form that we could recognize. Right now, again, there are angels in this room because angels are everywhere. They're with us. They're helping us. They're encouraging us. They're worshiping the Lord with us. We can't see them, but if we were to see them, because they would just take on a human body or form that we could see. They are spirits. Again, Hebrews 1:14, Jimmy read it a moment ago. Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. Now here, I want to pause here for a moment. And there's a scripture on the bottom of the first page here that I want to kind of focus on for a moment because here's something really cool. We may think, well, boy, angels are awesome. They can do things we can't do, and I wish I could. I wish I was an angel, and I wish I could do what they could do. Listen, there's something about us that angels are jealous of. There's something about us that angels say, boy, I wish I could experience that. Let's read it together in 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, it was revealed to them, the prophets. So Peter's talking about, you know, the span of history and the Old Testament prophets, that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. So let me kind of summarize that. Peter says, listen, the Old Testament prophets look forward to the day when the gospel would be preached. They look forward, you know, Isaiah and Moses and Abraham and David, they look forward to that day when the gospel would be preached. Are you with me so far? And then at the end of that verse, it says, even angels long to look into these things. Here's what I'm saying. Angels, we have a huge advantage over angels because salvation is available to us. Jesus died for us, not for angels. And angels, all the great things that they can do in the life that they experience, they would look at us and they would say, I am, air quotes here, I am jealous of you because you can experience salvation. You can experience forgiveness. Jesus died on the cross for humans, not for angels. And so let's not think that, well, angels look at us and say, wow, I wish I could experience salvation. I wish I could experience redemption. I wish I could experience forgiveness because that would be so cool. Are you with me? And so if you're saved, if you've accepted Jesus into your life and he's given you a new life, if you've repented of your sin, angels look at that and say, wow, that is really awesome because Jesus didn't die for us. He didn't go to the cross for angels. He went to the cross for you and for me. I think that's a real cool thought. I don't think many of you are with me on that yet. Maybe you'll get it later, but that angels are excited about that. You see, Jesus became a man. He didn't become an angel. That's what I'm saying. And so angels look at that and say, wow, that's really cool. And one day when we get to heaven, you can talk to your guardian angel about that. You can talk to Michael or Gabriel, and they'll say, boy, that was really cool what you got to experience. You got to experience salvation. You got to be baptized. You got to walk with God on earth in a way that angels never have and never will. Amen. Number three, angels are not to be worshipped. Angels are not to be worshipped. Again, our text we read this morning is the longest passage in the Bible that deals with angels, Hebrews 1 and 2. And the point is that Jesus is worthy of worship. Jesus ought to be worshipped, angels not at all. Now, Jesus was made a little bit lower, the Bible says, a little bit lower than the angels while he was here on earth, but he is all time superior to them in every way possible. And so we have a scripture here that from Revelation 22, the very last chapter of the Bible. And we'll put it on the screen here. Now, this is written by John, the disciple of Jesus. who knew the Lord, walked with him, wrote the Gospel of John, wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, wrote Revelation. So this was a man experienced with the Lord, and he says this, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. So he's at the end of the book of Revelation. He's kind of summing it up and kind of putting a bow on the book of Revelation. And when I heard and had seen them, I fell down and to worship at the feet of an angel who'd been showing them to me. So remember, John says, listen, the angel kind of revealed this to me, and it was so amazing, and the angel was so majestic, and the angel was so beautiful that I couldn't help it. I fell down and worshiped the angel. Listen to what the angel said. But he said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and of all who kept the words of this book, worship who? God. So we ought not ever be tempted to worship angels or think that, you know, they're worthy of worship. Again, if an angel were to show up today or an angel were to show up in your bedroom tonight, you know, you ought to be impressed, certainly, but you ought not to worship that angel. And that angel, if he was truly an angel, would say, hey, don't worship me. I'm a fellow messenger. I'm on the same team. We're all on the team of the Lord Jesus Christ. He may be majestic and awesome and powerful and mighty and all those things, but listen, he would point us to Jesus. And again, that's why we don't focus too much on angels, because they don't want to be focused on. They want us to focus our attention and our love and our worship on Jesus, not on angels. Are you with me? God provided angels to help us, but the big deal is all about Jesus. Now here's let me give you quickly a couple things that angels show us. Why do we care about this? What does this difference does it make in my life? Number one, angels show God's care for us. This is so cool. God created angels to be messengers, but also to care for us, to minister to us. Again, think about this. Didn't take time to read it, but if you think about the time when Jesus was tempted of the devil for 40 days in the wilderness, the beginning of his ministry, the Bible says what? Angels came and ministered to him. Angels are there to help us and to encourage us and to strengthen us. Listen, it says they rejoice at the conversion of a person. The day you gave your life to Jesus, the angels had a party. They celebrated. They said, hallelujah. Another one came into the kingdom. Angels watch our lives. Last week we talked about this a bit as well, that angels, we live in front of the unseen world, and angels are watching us, and demons are watching us, and the unseen world is watching us. And if we can live our lives in such a way, hopefully that angels will look at us and say, wow, look at that person. Look what they're going through, but yet they've got a smile on their face. They're still loving God. They're still serving Jesus, even though they're going through a difficult time. And your life is not being lived just for yourself. The unseen world is watching you. And you can live your life in a way that the unseen world is impressed and gives honor and glory to God. I know that's a mind-blowing thought, but I believe it's true. And angels are watching us. I love this, the third one. Angels are with us at our death. You know, maybe you've experienced this in the hospital room of a loved one, and you just feel not only the presence of the Lord, but the Bible says that the angels are there to usher us into the presence of God. And again, I don't know how exactly that works, but the Bible says it, and that's a great, great truth. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2, this is a great scripture. It says, keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Wow, did you hear that? That stranger that you extended kindness to may really be an angel. That person you're sitting next to this morning, probably not an angel, okay? Maybe, I don't know. Some of you may qualify. This is one of those scriptures that's very mysterious. How does that work? I don't know. We can't really get to the bottom of this, but the Bible says clearly, did you hear what I just said? That there are times when we reach out in kindness. Maybe we're helping someone or we're showing kindness or mercy to someone. And the Bible says that person actually is not even a person, that we're ministering to angels. What does that tell us? It tells us we ought to be careful the way we treat people. That person that I won't even give you examples, but you can fill in the blanks. That person that we treat unkindly, or that person that we yell at in traffic, or the person, whatever it is that your deal is, you know. The Bible says, again, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it. That stranger that crosses your path this week may be an angel. Now, I'm not saying they are, but they may be. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us I ought to treat them in a way that honors them and honors the Lord. Amen. It tells us something how we ought to treat the homeless and the poor and the hurting and the alien around us, doesn't it? Because they may actually be angels that we have an opportunity to minister to. Let's move on. Angels show God's power. If you're wondering about the power of God, look no further than how it's demonstrated even in angels. They're awesome creations of God. Again, if we could think about John's experience. Not, you know, again, I kind of gave you his resume, but he walked with Jesus. He was the disciple that Jesus loved. He was Jesus' closest friend. And after Jesus was resurrected and ascended into heaven, he wrote 1 John and 2 John and 3 John. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote the book of Revelation. And even this man who knew Jesus so well, when he saw an angel two times, he fell down to worship. That angels are so majestic and so awesome and so powerful and so mighty that this guy who was Jesus' best friend, when he saw an angel, he fell down to worship. So what does that tell us? It tells us if God created angels that were that awesome and mighty that even John would be confused and fall down and worship, that tells me that my God is an awesome God. That God has a God of great power. And he can create these angels that are just amazing and awesome. Thirdly, let me kind of bring it here to number three. Angels show us how to worship God. Now, this is a whole other sermon right here. But if you read the book of Revelation again and again and again, as the curtain's drawn back in the book of Revelation, do you realize the book of Revelation is not really so much about prophecy? About, well, this is what's going to happen and that's going to happen. I mean, there is some prophecy in there. But the book of Revelation is a book of worship. If you read the book of Revelation, it's all about worship. It's about angels worshiping the Lord, and the curtain is pulled back in heaven, and it's worship, it's singing, it's lifting up the name of Jesus. And front and center in those scenes are angels. There are angels that do nothing but worship at the face of our Lord and Savior. They worship continually. That's why we don't worship them, because they themselves are worshipers. So look, I just pulled a couple scriptures. We'll put them on the screen for sake of time this morning. Revelation 5, 11, John again says, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. So if you're wondering how many angels are there, John said 10,000 times 10,000 was just the beginning. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, the angels did, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and on the sea, and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped. Wow. Angels front and center. Here's another one, Revelation 7. Two chapters further, 11 and 12. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces, the angels did, before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Angels, as majestic and awesome and powerful as they are, they're nothing more than worshipers of God. And they tell us, they show us how to worship. They point us to Jesus. They are worshipers of God. They ought to encourage us to worship him. Again, if they are as majestic and awesome as they are, if they are worshiping God and Jesus, don't you think we ought to be as well? They point us to him. They are never the focus. They're pointing us to Jesus. So if you're confused in your worship, if you're discouraged in your worship, you're thinking, well, what's the point? I want you, if nothing else, to maybe read the book of Revelation. Say, "Lord, show me the need and the necessity and the beauty of worship." Read passages like this and realize that in heaven right now, the angels are worshiping, and one day we will join them in their worship. Amen. Amen. Let me close with this. The angels show us that the unseen world is real. The unseen world is real. And we talked about this last Sunday, but I think it's so important to come back to this. That if you're only living for the here and now, if you're thinking, "Pastor, life is all about what I can see, and it's all about what I can grab a hold of, and I'm going to go for it now because there's nothing beyond this, and this life is all that there is." Listen, you are making a terrible, terrible, fatal mistake. And I plead with you, I beg with you to realize that living for the here and now is foolish. It's empty. There's a reality that we cannot see. There's a world that's more real and more lasting than the world that we see, and that's the unseen world. And I'm not saying we ought to be fascinated by that, but what I'm saying we ought to be aware of it and say, Lord, I want you to know that I'm here to love you and to serve you. Lord, there's something more to life than just, you know, getting all that I can get and making as much money as I can and going for the gusto. Lord, there's something more to life than that, and that's giving you honor and glory that you deserve. So I want to close with a very clear and a very straightforward question, and it is this. Are you right with God? Are you right with God? If your life were to end today, if God were to say, you know what, today's your last day on earth, I'm gonna close the book of your life right now today. Let me ask you, friend, are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you right with him? Have you given him your life? Have you confessed your sin to him? I'm not asking, do you believe in angels? I'm not asking, have you been a good person? I'm not asking if you go to church, because obviously you go to church. You're here this morning. But I am saying the question that we all need to answer is, Lord, I give you my life. You are my Lord and my Savior. I believe that when you died on the cross, you died for me and you rose again on the third day. If you cannot say that, if that's not your experience, I beg of you and I plead of you today to give your life to Jesus. Today is a day of salvation. And if you do, guess what? The Bible says angels are going to rejoice. Angels will rejoice with you if you make that commitment. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe, even though I cannot see you, I believe you're real. I know you're real. And I know there's more to life than what I can taste and touch and see and feel. And today I just think it's so appropriate on this Father's Day. Maybe you're a dad. You say, Pastor, I'm a tough guy. I don't know if I believe in all this angels stuff, but you know what? I'm here to say it's real. I'm here to say Jesus loves you. He's given your life for you. And the best decision you could make today is to make sure you're right with God. And so in a moment, I'm going to ask us all to bow our heads and pray. And in fact, let's do that right now. Would you join me? Bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. And today is a day for each of us to just take a moment and look deep inside. You may say, Pastor, I've been going to this church for 20 years. It doesn't matter. If you're not right with God, you're not right with God. Today may be your first day. You may not even know what's going on, but you sense in your heart today you need to give your life to Jesus. Because none of us are guaranteed 100 years on this earth. And today may be the day that you have the opportunity to give your life to him. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, I just invite you to join with me in just a very personal moment. If you'd say, Pastor, I need to give my life to the Lord. I need to give my life to Jesus. I want to spend eternity with him. I want to give my life to him. If that's you, would you lift your hand? I want to pray with you this morning. I'm just going to ask everyone else just to kind of keep your head bowed, but amen. I see a couple hands being lifted this morning. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much. Just lift it right up and lift it. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to be able to pray for you today. Amen. Thank you for your honesty. You can put your hands back down this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Father God, we thank you for these friends that have lifted their hand this morning. And Lord, I pray right now as they just give their hearts to you, as they just pray a prayer like this, as it would say, Lord, come into my life and forgive my sin. Lord, make me a new person. I believe you are who you say you are, Jesus. Would you come and forgive me? I repent of my sin. I turn from my sin. Father, as we pray that prayer this morning, I pray, Lord, that they would open their hearts to you and pray it with all the sincerity in their heart. Give their hearts and lives to you today, we pray. Father, we thank you that you give us the opportunity to respond to the gospel this morning. Thank you that as we do, that the angels in heaven rejoice over each person. Even, Lord, the four or five this morning that lifted their hand, we know the angels in heaven and the angels in this room are rejoicing over those that are turning to Jesus. And we join them by saying, yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, we give you praise. And, Lord, we want to take a moment as well. I know many of us here today would say, Lord, we're following Jesus and we know him and love him. But Lord, we want to take a moment and say thank you. Thank you for providing angels to minister to us. Thank you for providing angels to help us. Lord, we don't even know how that works or what that looks like. But Lord, on the basis of your word, we know that the angels are helping us and encouraging us. And so, Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for not leaving us alone. Thank you for giving us what we need to serve you and to live for you. And that includes your provision of these great, mighty messengers, these powerful angels that are helping us along the way. Father, help us also to consider the scripture that says we may be helping angels or intersecting with people this week who may be angels. Lord, help us to treat people well. Help us, Lord, to be kind to those that are hurting. Lord, to maybe the homeless or those that are struggling or those that we may write off. Lord, you may be sending an angel in that form, Lord, to just kind of test us to see how we're treating them. And Lord, help us to pass that test. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward and wait upon us as we receive the Lord's tithes and your offerings. Actually, I'm going to have my wife come up and help us with the offering at this moment. But I want to say one thing before, as we're coming up. If you prayed that prayer with me this morning, I've got a book I'd like to give to you. It's called The New Believer's Handbook. And it's going to help you get started on the right foot with Jesus. It talks about, what do I do now? Where do I go now? Well, you know, what's the next step? And these are out at the welcome desk. I want to encourage you to stop by and pick one up. Also, I'm going to be here at the front along with my wife. And if you prayed that prayer this morning, come on up and tell me about it. And we'd like to pray with you and just encourage you in that. So the donuts will still be there. They'll still be there. Take a moment, get some spiritual business done before you do that. And it'd be a great day to have you do that. Amen.
This is the time when if you have a Connect card and you filled that out, I want you to put that in there along with the envelopes.